And you're listening to Utah Politics Now here on KPCW. Again, I'm Leslie Thatcher along with Renee Bodley. Joining us today, we have the candidates running for Utah House District 53, Logan Wild, the Republican, and Cole Kapner, the Democrat. District 53, which represents most of the Snyderville Basin, except for the city limits of Park City, as well as portions of Morgan, Rich, and Daggett counties. Both of the candidates are political newcomers looking to fill the seat of longtime lawmaker Mel Brown, who was nearly defeated in the primary. We'll let you tell we'll let them tell you more about themselves in just a minute.
And we're also going to talk about the issues that affect you and your family, education, environment, public lands, and even what we call the vice block. Specific questions about Utah's liquor laws, marijuana laws, specifically medical marijuana, death with dignity, and sex education. If you're listening right now and you have a question, you can call it in later in the show. The direct number to our studio is 435-655-TALK. That's 435-655-8255. We'll open the phone lines around 10:45. Earlier this morning, we flipped a coin to decide who went first. The Democrat candidate, Cole Kapner, you won the coin toss. You decided you wanted to give your opening statement first.
Yes, good morning, and thanks to KPCW for hosting this debate. My name is Cole Kapner. I'm the Democratic candidate for House District 53. A little bit about me, I actually grew up in Ogden, Utah, and my parents were from Utah. My great-grandfather actually came across the plains and with the pioneers and helped settle Davis County. I'm a product of Utah public schools. I went to the University of Utah and then on to George Washington Law School in Washington, D.C. Moved to Summit County in 2001. I live here with my wife, Jane, and my daughter, Rosemary. I am not a politician. I have never held elected office. My background, I like to say I'm a recovering lawyer. I've spent 30 years as an international business lawyer, having the opportunity to do work and visit 60 different countries. I've also taught at universities, at the University of Utah and Chinese University, and served on corporate boards as well as run a small charity that helps people with HIV/AIDS in Africa. So I have a varied background, and I hope to bring that to benefit the state legislature in a new voice.
Thank you, Cole Kapner. You went a little over a minute there. You had about a minute and 20 seconds. So, Logan, will you have the same amount of time?
Yeah, my name is Logan Wild, and I am a resident of Croydon, Utah, which is in Morgan County. I have lived there my whole life. I run a sheep and cattle ranch, and it's been a great opportunity for me. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to get involved in the community with conservation programs to local projects that are around the community. I even worked on one right down here in Jeremy Ranch to bring funding and restore the East Canyon River that goes below Jeremy Ranch. So I helped bring funding into that program. Currently, I am on the Morgan County Council. I have been there for the 4 years, in which I have been the chair for 3 years of that term. And I just look forward to serving the people. That's kind of why I started to run, and I enjoy getting my hands down and dirty. So thank you.
Okay, I always like to start these off by talking about money. Cole, we're going to start with you. Any idea how much money you've raised and who your top contributors are? Top three, maybe?
Total, I think, from the beginning, about $3,500. Biggest single donor is the Utah House Democratic Leadership, which are just members of the legislature. My own view is that money is a corrupting influence in politics, and to be honest, I think a lot of donors donate with expectations in mind, and that those kinds of special interests dominate our current legislature, and that's one of the reasons I run. I've decided to run. I don't like that. My donors are basically friends of Cole, and they don't expect anything. They've donated simply because they like me, they know me, they know I'm a person of integrity. And I think, if you look For example, I've examined Logan's some of Logan's contributors, and they include PACs, which I have not solicited, and even some personal injury law firms. And as a lawyer, I wonder what those personal injury law firms expect when they make donations.
All right. Well, Logan, let you answer your own question here. How much money have you raised, and talk about your biggest contributors?
I've raised about $18,000. The majority, my largest contributors are coming from people that are close to me, family members and personal friends. I've had several contributors from the state legislators, and considering what Cole had to say, I have taken money from attorneys, from interest groups. Some of those, when they've talked to me about the issues that they're concerned with, I share their same values. So I have felt comfortable in taking their money.
And they're not going to ask you to do anything special for them if you were elected?
Not that I don't feel comfortable with. I've made that kind of clear to them when I've taken money.
Okay. Thanks.
Moving on to our vice block, it seems everyone in Utah has an opinion about the state's liquor laws. The Zion Curtain, an attempt to remove the Zion Curtain, has failed in the legislature in the past several years. The curtain's a 7-foot barrier in bars and restaurants to prevent minors from seeing alcoholic drinks being made. Let's first ask, would you like to see the Zion Curtain stay or go, and why? Logan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, as far as the Zion Curtain goes, I think it's a problem for local economies. I think there needs to be a more open dialogue when we start discussing issues that impact our local economy versus our local culture. And I think that needs to be much more open in our discussions as they go forward. And I look forward to talking to some of the community here in Park City that is directly impacted by that law.
Cole, Zion Curtain?
I see that the Zion Curtain has now been extended to a ceiling as well in the new Eccles Theater. First of all, I should say that Utah's liquor laws do, I think, have some valid purposes to reduce drunk driving and prevent underage drinking. I mean, those are valid purposes. At the same time, I think some of this, we've sort of lost track on some of these, like the Zion Curtain. I don't see how that furthers our interests, our goals. And so I would say that could be removed. And I think most Utahns, even non-drinkers, would probably agree with that.
Yeah. What about just the number of liquor licenses? Again, the legislature controls that. I mean, do you support, and we have people just clamoring for them. I mean, it's now that they're on the market. I mean, it's a, it's traded like stocks and bonds. But how do you feel about adding more liquor licenses?
Like stocks and bonds. it's a difficult issue because we, on one hand, the state has an interest in regulating the number of liquor licenses, but we also have restaurants and other businesses that really need it, and it can encourage our promotion of tourism to the state. And so that I think you have to strike a balance. I would probably favor some reasonable increase.
How about you, Logan?
I think I favor a reasonable increase on that as well, but I just really think that the topic needs to be expanded to the public. And I think sometimes this discussion has been held back in the dark.
All right. Medical marijuana, let's move to that. The issue drew a lot of attention in the past legislative session. Two bills that would essentially legalize cannabis oil or medical marijuana for patients suffering from specific conditions failed. There seems to be growing bipartisan support for it. We had Republican Senator Mark Mattson out in front of this. But then there was a strong statement of opposition from the LDS Church. We have 23 other states that have passed similar measures. Now with all of this horrible local news about addiction and overdosing and the fact that Utah is fourth in the country for opioid overdoses, I would like to ask, Cole, isn't it time to consider something else?
Yeah, the last legislative session, there were two bills. I think one where It was the whole plant that was sought to be legalized for purposes of using medical marijuana. And the other was more limited with just the extracting, I think, the active ingredient. I wonder whether that the latter one would have a better chance of success. The first one, I guess, got blocked, but I'm not sure that the more limited one was actually submitted for a vote. I would favor a limited bill for medical marijuana. I must say, I lived in California 20 years ago, and voted on medical marijuana, and I voted in favor, but I was a little disappointed when walking down Venice Beach and seeing the touts trying to drag me in and get a medical marijuana card. Now, I think we don't want that. I don't think, but for legitimate medical uses, I think we can favor something, a restricted bill.
How about for you, Logan? Is that something you can get behind? You'd need a card, yeah.
Yeah, depends on the issue that comes forward on medical marijuana. Currently, I sit as the chairman of the Weber Morgan Health Department. And with that, I have seen some of the social implications that come from other states that have actually opened up medical marijuana to recreational use and other issues that are there. And the social implications that come down on your local police departments, your local health institutes are just, to me, they take your breath away. I think if we do it, we need to do it on a very limited basis. And I think that there is starting to be a broader discussion happening than just the current state legislature about the need for medical marijuana or even some sort of other product that's out there so that we can address some of these opiate issues that are coming forward. And I think I really look forward to taking part in that discussion.
Moving on to sex education, Utah's current law passed in 1988 requires the stressing of abstinence-only instruction. Last year, House Democrat leader Brian King introduced a bill that would allow comprehensive sex education. It would allow parents to opt in their children to that education, which would include instruction on all methods to prevent unintended pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases and infections, including HIV and AIDS. Representative King mentioned Utah's rising rates of sexually transmitted diseases and said that this will help curtail that. However, it failed, and conservatives like Gail Ruzicka, who's president of the Utah Eagle Forum, a woman that you will get to know well if you are elected to the legislature, she said comprehensive sex education is all about teaching children that it's okay to have sex as long as they use a condom. It just doesn't work. She touts the Utah statistics and a low rate of teen pregnancy as a reason why Utah's current sex education bill works. Let's start with you, Cole. Would you have voted for King's bill on sex education? Why or why not?
I would have, especially because it gives those parents who have a problem with this the right to opt in. If they want it, they can opt in. And those that don't, I have a default opt-out provision. I would not oppose an opt-out type of legislation as well. I run this small nonprofit in Africa, and we deal with HIV/AIDS. And it's a matter of life and death sometimes. And the message there from the beginning, I think, has been a good message. And it's we call the ABC message. Abstinence, be faithful, and use a condom. ABC. There are no mixed messages sent there. It's the pragmatic approach that abstinence can prevent the spread of HIV, being faithful to your partner can prevent it, and using a condom can prevent it. And that is the best way to tackle this. We're talking about our children here, and these STIs, the sexually transmitted infections, are a very serious problem in Utah.
Logan.
Yeah, looking at Legislator King's bill, I do have to applaud him for having an opt-in position on this. I think if any bill is going to move forward, you'd need to have an opt-in in Utah. I think the opt-out is just not going to gain any traction with the public or even with legislators. But looking at it as coming forward, I know that abstinence only has brought down STIs from the 1970s per population to what it is today. But looking at our current situation, I see our STIs actually starting to increase. And I think maybe we need to look at some of the other methods of instructing or encouraging the public in a manner that will address some of the issues that we're currently facing and not just what we were facing in the 1970s, 80s.
Representative Rebecca Chavez-Houck, a Democrat from Salt Lake City, is the sponsor of the End of Life Options Act, which would create a legal pathway for terminal patients to obtain fatal prescriptions. She's tried and failed to pass the bill in the last couple of years. Both times the Health and Human Services Committee voted to hold the proposal for interim study. Let's start with you, Logan. When it comes to personal rights, it doesn't get any more personal than this. How do you stand on the issue?
I didn't think about it very long. You know, I think the issue is very broad, and I had my mind going in a different direction. I'm sorry, Leslie.
How would you feel on this bill that would allow people to end their own lives with medical prescriptions?
You know, when you look at people ending their own life, where do you draw the line is the question that I'm taken to. And I think that I think the discussion needs to take place. But do you, as a society, stand up and say, these people with these issues can end their own life and exclude those? I think there needs to be a discussion that takes place. I think that I have to applaud Rebecca for taking this on, because I think that there is going to be a multi-year discussion on this issue. And for me, I am not that informed on the issue.
Okay. And Cole?
I used to semi-seriously tell my sister to, if I'm rendered a vegetable, to take me to Oregon, which has a similar law. Now, I'm not familiar with Rebecca's, the details of her particular bill and how much involvement the physician has in that kind of decision, and it would have to look at the details. But I think what there should be, and I do favor, some kind of properly supervised, that is with physicians involved, an end of life option.
Can I add something to that? I agree. I think, and why I say this needs to take multi-year discussion, is when we look at the physician's rights and what they're going to be responsible for, I think this is going to be an ongoing discussion for a long time, because they are taking on quite a responsibility to look at this and analyze within their own situation of what is the core responsibility.
You're listening to Utah Politics Now. A reminder that we'll be opening the phone lines at 10:45 to take your questions. We'll be back after this.
Hello, this is Blake Christian, managing partner of HCVT CPAs. We are very pleased to be underwriting the new KPCW program, Utah Politics Now. Keeping listeners informed of the political and tax policy landscape is important to us. More information about HCVT can be accessed at hcvt.com.
Tell businesses you heard them on KPCW. Let local stores, restaurants, and services know their support of local public radio means something to you by letting them know you heard their spot on KPCW. Check out more than 140 businesses and nonprofit organizations that support KPCW through underwriting by clicking on the Community tab on kpcw.org. Listen like a local, shop like a local, support like a local with KPCW.
Welcome back to Utah Politics Now. I'm Renee Bodley with my co-host Leslie Thatcher. This morning we're talking to the candidates for Utah House District 53. We have Republican Logan Wild and Democrat Cole Capener with us. Thank you for being here this morning, gentlemen. We'll move on to education. We already have a teacher shortage. Teachers here in the Park City School District are some of the best paid, and even then, many can't afford to live in the community in which they teach. First question, what would you do to attract and retain the best teachers? Logan Wild, let's start with you.
That is a good question, because it is an ongoing problem here in the state of Utah. I know we have school districts right now that are The school that they just built in Lehigh is currently looking for teachers to fill a whole high school. So that is a really excellent question. I know there's been discussions about how to increase funding for our local districts through the weighted pupil unit to increase teacher salaries. And, you know, to me, I think that is probably going to be the biggest discussion that takes place in this next legislative session. Now, as a junior or a freshman legislator, I do not expect that we're going to get a tax increase out of this. The governor's not calling for it. The speaker of the House is not calling for it. To actually get those measures through the House is going to almost... I think it's going to be really hard. So right now I think Education First is trying to do an initiative ballot on moving forward with some increases to increase the weighted pupil average. And I think that's probably going to be our best bet going forward.
Cole Capener, what would you do to attract and retain the best teachers?
Yeah, at the beginning of this legislative session this year, the governor asked for a 4.75% increase in the WPU, the weighted pupil unit, and the legislature gave him 3%. And this is sort of what's happening in the state. The state legislature, dominated by one party, 84% of the House of Representatives is Republican, continues to refuse to provide adequate funding. And without adequate funding, we can't raise our teachers' compensation to attract and retain the very best. And it's a critical problem, as you said. In the paper, Deseret News today reported that's the most compelling issue in education for most Utahns. And we need more funding. And those who say that we can do it without more funding are fooling themselves. Now, I just noticed that a delegation from the Colorado Department of Transportation visited last week to admire Utah's roads. And one of them noted that Utah spends four times more than Colorado on its roads. And a Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House, told me that the legislature has been diverting funds that should have gone to education to roads over the past 10 years, over $1 billion. We've got to stop that, and we've got to look for alternative sources of funding, including raising revenues.
Well, we have the new gas tax to do that, don't we? I mean, that's why that went into play, so that we could keep the money into the general fund for things like education. Well, you know, I'm going to go back to Logan here. It's the Republicans who tend to say that we need to reduce government spending, and with those savings, we can fund more important projects like education. I think what I heard you say is that let's leave it up to the people and let them put in a ballot initiative, in each school district to raise their own taxes, and then do those taxes get to stay in that district?
The proposal that's forward right now, I think, is a state, would be throughout the state, and it would increase the state income tax. That's where your weighted pupil average comes from, not local property taxes. So it would not be a localized increase, it would be a state increase.
Okay, so this doesn't go to this is something the legislature can take care of in session.
Yeah, your local taxes go to capital projects.
All right.
Actually, that's not exactly true. The WPU is funded in part by the basic levy at property tax level, and the state income tax is used to equalize the discrepancies between the various school districts based on the amount of basic levies that they receive. But I do, I think Logan is referring to Education First has a proposal to raise the income tax by 0.75%, which is something I think we should consider. Another possibility, Governor Huntsman a few years ago introduced we have a weird state income tax where you can sort of choose which tax you want to apply, with one a flat tax. And I think that he added a 5% plus flat tax. I think that benefits high-income earners more than anyone else. I would like to see that eliminated, and that would result in an increase in revenue on the from state income taxes.
Charter schools were welcomed by the legislature, and if you read all of the reports, you could follow the money and see that some state legislatures profited off of charter schools, whether the materials that were sold or whether the construction that was done. They are here to stay. So how do we fund them without harming our public schools, Logan?
As far as charter schools, I think they play a crucial part in our local economy and also within our local education system. But I think you have to be very careful because I think the critics have it correct. There is some concern that charter schools are taking the money and they have a short list of living long. I mean, I think I saw a report that showed that charter schools only last about 5 to 8 years and then they go bankrupt and then a new charter school comes in. And that is not something that's sustainable for our education. I think we really need to look at funding public education and pushing them forward as our single source for the majority of education. And that's how I feel.
So you're saying that if our charter school goes out of business, then we should just stop funding it?
No, I think they're a crucial part to education. They play a part in a certain segment of our society. But when they go, I think we have to be very careful that we're not overfunding charter schools to get up and going.
Cole, your response?
Well, I agree with that. I'm basically opposed to any type of agenda that attempts to undermine public education. Now, I'm open-minded on charter schools. I think we need to look at them. This year they received their WPU plus $20 million in funding. We've got to take a look. I don't like the idea of legislators or others with vested interest benefiting by outsourcing administrative services like we've seen in charter schools. I think we need to look at that. And we need to look to see if charter schools are actually producing better. Are they better than our public schools? And if not, I mean, what is their justification?
Let's move on to the environment. We see it in Salt Lake City and Cache County every January. In your district in 53, where you're representing parts of Summit County, Daggett, Duchesne, Morgan, and Rich, maybe air quality isn't as big of an issue, but it is something that you will see every January down there in the Salt Lake Valley when you go to the legislature. Do you have any solutions to reducing air pollution in Utah? Cole Kapner, we'll start with you.
Well, on this issue first, I think Logan and I might have a different opinion. I noticed that Red, when he was on the Weber Morgan, well, he is on the board of Weber Morgan Board of Health, and at apparently in June, a citizens committee and a technical committee submitted what seemed to me a reasonable proposal to test diesel emissions. Now, diesel emissions have been shown to be harmful. They've been linked to increases in pediatric asthma. These committees unanimously proposed that we start testing diesel emissions, and Logan called that an act of terrorism, that proposal. I think that's the kind of clean air solution that we need to look at. We need to look at a whole range of solutions because this is really not, it's a family health issue, but it's also an economic health issue. People come to want to invest in Utah and create jobs here, and they see that yucky air 3 or 4 months a year, and they don't want to invest here. So it's something we need to tackle. We need to have cleaner fuels. We need to the legislature was given an opportunity to have the right for Utah to raise the air quality standards above the federal mandate, like California does, and they chose not to do it. California had a problem. A lot of people from our listeners are probably from California, moved here. 20, 30 years ago, California was in a serious, particularly Los Angeles, air pollution problem, and they took a number of measures and I think dramatically improved the situation.
And I'm going to just throw this out here because, Logan, you may know more about this than I do, but my understanding is that the refinement process for your unleaded gas causes more emissions than it does to have the emissions come out of a diesel vehicle.
That it does. The problem is, and I'll own my statement, the problem that I had as the Board of Health chairman is we had asked 2 years ago for an independent board to come forward with an ordinance that we could put in place in Weber County. Now, in June, we kind of pressed the board to come forward, and they had, in their data, they had included a lot of information that wasn't really necessary. And to me, that was emotionally charging and wasn't really relevant to the question that was there. Now, last Monday, we did pass in, unanimously as a board a diesel emissions program. And what we were looking for is the evidence that was necessary to move that kind of program forward so that we, when you ask somebody that has a diesel truck to, oh, wait a minute, you've put $10,000 into your diesel truck, now you need to go put another $20,000 to correct that problem because you wanted black smoke coming out, we had the evidence to back it up and saying you're causing problems. The other problem that we have with emissions is not always is your local government over, they're really not the steering committee on air quality. You're always looking at the EPA to give you direction, and the EPA right now does not ask you to do diesel emissions. They're looking at an industry standards because they feel like over the board, industry standards will actually do the best over the long period of time than local standards.
You're listening to Utah Politics Now, the new public affairs show here on KPCW. We're talking to the candidates running for the Utah House of Representatives, District 53, Logan Wild and Cole Capener. We'll be taking your calls in about 5 minutes. First, these underwriters.
The Park City UPS stores are happy to support Park City High School Sports and KPCW. The Park City UPS stores offer fax and notary services, office and mailing supplies, and passport photos. Wide format printing for posters and banners are also available at Kimball Junction and next to the movie theater on Park Avenue.
This Lost and Found report is brought to you in part by Realtor Julie Hopkins at jhparkcity.com, 901-0616. Park City Title Company, providing escrow services in Summit and Wasatch Counties, 649-8322. And Intermountain Mortgage Company, local lending solution since 1992, 649-6660.
Back by ever popular demand, it's Odyssey Dance Theater's award-winning thriller. A ghoulish dance of monsters and maniacs, phantoms and freaks, eerily entertaining. This dancing spooktacular sells out, so get your tickets early for Thriller at Egyptian Theaters, September 23rd through October 9th. Recommended for ages 12 and up with parental discretion. Tickets at parkcityshows.com or 649-9371. The Egyptian Theater is one freaky nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to Utah Politics Now on KPCW, your local radio station covering Summit and Wasatch Counties. You're listening to this new political talk show. We're talking to the candidates from Utah House District 53. We have Republican Logan Wild with us and Democrat Cole Capener. We're going to be taking your phone calls in about 4 minutes. That number is 435-655-8255. But first, we've got a question. Federalism. Utah has spent about $950,000 so far preparing for the lawsuit against the federal government to take back federal lands in Utah. So far, $6.5 million has been appropriated towards that effort. Attorneys told lawmakers that the initial worst-case predictions is that the lawsuit could cost $14 million, that estimation is a little high and predicted that it might be less. Do you support this effort, Democrat Cole Capener?
No. As a lawyer, I do have some knowledge about attorney's fees, and I've often found that attorneys' worst-case scenarios are often closer to the low end of the scenario. So this could be open-ended if it goes on appeal, for example. It could be even much more than the $14 million, I believe. But I think it's a frivolous lawsuit. Based on what I understand, the state has little chance of prevailing, and therefore it's a waste of taxpayers' dollars. I think more importantly, the federal lands are really everyone's lands. I just read a piece that said that 75% of hunters in Utah hunt on federal land, 75% of fishermen fish on federal land. We enjoy our national parks here. And one thing that I think that's often missed is the What would the cost be to the state of Utah if we were actually to get the public lands? I saw a survey that suggested that it would be $110 million net increase to the state to be able to manage those lands over and above any kind of royalties we'd get. And then what often happens as you look at history, that whenever federal land has been conveyed to the states turn it over to private interests. And that, I don't think, is what Utahns want.
Interesting to have that perspective from an attorney. Now let's go to you, Logan Wild, as a rancher.
You know, I don't think Cole and I are that far off on this issue. I think public lands issues come down to management. We have a critical management problem in the federal government. And how do we go about bringing that discussion up so that that is brought into a political forum? We can throw money after it. We can throw resources into this, but it doesn't seem to be handling the management problem. I want to talk about some of the management issues that I see. One is we have with sage grouse, wild horses. Right now, the federal government is spending right around $45 million just to house or put wild horses into feedlots. This is a problem. These are not good management styles. Now, can the federal government manage their lands better? Well, when you discuss this with the Forest Service, representatives and the BLM, they say yes, but they feel like their hands are being tied. Can the state of Utah help in some of these aspects of managing resources? Yes, they feel like they can. I am definitely against privatization of public lands. I've seen that in my own county where they took state ground and they sold it. And it did not work out well for the local government. It did not work out for the public. But what I do see is that when we talk about public lands and we have this ownership problem, oh, that's federal ground, that's state ground, that's local county ground. No, they belong to the public. And we need to make sure that when we discuss this, we're talking about management issues, and let's bring the management problems front and forward.
You're listening to Utah Public Now, Utah Politics Now. We'll take your phone calls at 435-655-8255 if you have a question for one of the candidates running for House District 53. We've got Democrat Cole Capener along with Republican Logan Wild here. Let's see. Nobody on the phone line, so I'm going to get into this. The real estate lobby in Utah is big and powerful, and any attempts to increase home prices have never been allowed. But I'd like you to think about this. There are some progressive states that require all new development projects to be designed and aligned in a way so that if solar panels ever were installed on a house, they would be effective. Other communities that require that all new homes be wired so that solar panels can be easily hooked up later. With Park City's goal of being net zero by 2033, solar plays a big part in this. Can you support legislation that would encourage renewable energy, even if it means a few thousand dollars more added to a home's price? You want to take that, Cole?
Depending on the details of the legislation, I would be sympathetic to that kind of approach. I laud Park City for its goal, and I think we certainly have to do something. The promotion of alternative energy is I think absolutely essential for our future, and it impacts climate change issues, and climate change should be a big concern, particularly of those of us in this area and the ski industry. The physicist gave a presentation a couple weeks ago saying that without attempts to address climate change, our snowpack could be substantially reduced, and that would have a disastrous impact on our economy here. So we need to take action, and I think promoting solar panels, a clean alternative energy, is something we should do, even if it means some additional cost. Now, I mean, it can't be overwhelming, or that it wouldn't be politically palatable.
And Logan?
You know, I think the net zero by 2033, right?
Yeah, that's the entire community.
That's all entire community. That is applaudable. I think it'll probably be pushed off because of the battery problems that they're going to face. But when the technology comes forward, I think communities are going to have to really look at doing something solar. And I think right now, I mean, talking to some of the power companies, talking to some of the other communities that are around, everybody's looking at going green and looking at solar as a viable product. But when you start to get down to the nuts and bolts, until we can come up with some sort of storage mechanism for that power so that we can offset the need for coal and natural gas, we're really spinning our wheels. Somehow we need the technology there to develop batteries so that we can have the storage necessary to have ongoing, even at night, during the day, when solar's not available.
Again, I mean, if lawmakers aren't going to force people mm-hmm. to change, I mean, we're not going to do it for ourselves. We see that all the time. I mean, Republicans talk about this all the time, about we need less regulation. But when you look at it, it's the regulations that are protecting our oceans, you know, and preventing future love canals. I mean, regulate you. Republicans are just cringing at me right now. I can feel it. But again, if in fact we don't put that into place, what's going to force the change?
I think the change is going to come. I mean, I honestly think it's like clean air. Clean air is going to, I mean, clean air initiatives are going to come. What we have to be cautious with is that we have the infrastructure in place as we go along. And that's the part that I see that we're lacking in the discussion is that infrastructure in place. Now, if I have a community that goes out and puts solar panels on top of all the homes, like in California, California's had that requirement there in some of the communities that are going forward. But then the power company has to call in and say, oh, only 2%, we have this 2% rule because right now we're getting a surge of power. We need to cut this down so we're not blowing transformers or infrastructure. I honestly think we need to have the infrastructure conversation along with the solar power conversation, because if we're not putting money into batteries, if we're not putting money into transmission lines, then we're going to fail on the solar power and going green.
But the truth of the matter is we either need a big carrot or a stick in order to get something done. I have a good friend in Bountiful who sells air pollution equipment. And he told me he hasn't had a single customer ever buy anything because they wanted to. They bought it because they were required to do so by regulation. And that, ideally we try to encourage this kind of behavior. I think the state can take a greater leadership role by giving bigger credits for new energy vehicles, solar panels, other alternative renewable sources. We need to encourage that, but ultimately, I think going forward, we should look at that requiring new construction to have this.
The time is now 10:51. We've got about 5 more minutes to answer your calls. No one's called in yet. Please call 435-655-8255 to ask any question of these two candidates. We've got Republican Logan Wild and Democrat Cole Kapner. They're running for Utah House District 53. Now's the time to get your question in, 435-655-8255. Any phones lighting up yet?
Not yet, but let's ask him another question here. Start with you, Cole. Do you support an increase in the minimum wage as we've seen in other states?
I do. I think the current federal minimum of $7.25 is really kind of an embarrassment, and no one can live on that. Now, I think in Utah, the political reality is that the kind of so-called living wage that you see in Seattle and other areas of $15 is also not workable. But if I were elected, and I've already discussed this with others, that my first step would be I'd go to the Chamber of Commerce in Salt Lake and say, look, We can move, $15 an hour, I know you won't accept that, but an increase to $10 an hour at least provide some movement. So that's something that I would like to see.
And Logan, your thoughts about minimum wage?
You know, I'm not in favor of raising the federal minimum wage. I think there's two discussions that need to take place. One is livable wage for those people that are over a certain age. And then we need to have a discussion about people that are living at home with their families. For McDonald's to employ kids that are going to college that are living at home, I think that would kill those small businesses.
655-8255. We did have a caller. If you can call back, we'll put you back on. We're talking to the candidates here for House District 53. So what would you do to cover the health care cost of those without insurance or government aid?
Yeah, you're talking about Medicaid expansions.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very interesting problem because, number one, how do you pay for it? What many of the states that have already gone out and passed and said, okay, we're going to go with Medicaid expansion, what they found is the promises of fulfilling these vouchers and everything that the federal government has done, they're not coming true. Some of them are 15 months behind, some of them are 2 years behind on payments. And how do you manage a local government, how do you manage a state government when you're not receiving funding for a program that has to be, I mean, money's going out today, and you're not being, the revenue's not coming in for 15 to 20 months. So that's the first problem. Next problem is this, the gap, the people that are exposed to this gap, a lot of them are people that your local communities are starting to pick up the bill for. And so you're starting to see communities like Weber County, they're looking at it and saying, okay, people that are coming out of jail, people that are coming out of prison, we're having to cover them with our social services. So therefore, we're increasing our taxes anyways. We really need you to do something, state of Utah, and help us out with these programs. So I think both of those discussions are really taking place, and I think something is going to have to be done, but I think it's really the federal program's going to have to be looked at to make it successful.
Cole?
Growing up in Utah, I learned certain values, one of which I thought was very important, that we are supposed to take care of our neighbors. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and comfort those who stand in need of comfort. And, you know, when I try to take that abstract concept and apply it, make it into a concrete proposal, I just think that we have an obligation to provide health care to people who can't afford it. Health care is not a privilege. It should be a right. And I think the extension of Medicaid to the 160,000 people in Utah that are uninsured is something we have to do.
We're going to go to our first phone call. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Ann Carson, and I would like to ask both candidates whom they support for president and why.
Okay, real quick. Logan, you give you behind your...
That's a loaded question. I'm really not decided right now. I struggle with both candidates. I struggle with some of the national party issues that are being forced into the limelight. So I really have to say that I'm still up in the air about either candidate.
A coin toss? What are you going to do? I mean, what's going to change your mind?
Right now, you know, I kind of like the Constitutional Party candidate for values. I really think, but I mean, at times I feel like I'm throwing my vote away by voting Constitutional
You are.
Party, but he's the only one that I feel like I can that represents me.
Cole?
I think like a lot of people that were kind of disappointed with the selection and choice we have this year, I think the two major party candidates are flawed. However, I do believe that Hillary Clinton will be a competent president, and given her experience, and I will vote for her.
Okay, we got a real quick last question here before we get to closing statements. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to know the candidates' thoughts on the Second Amendment, specifically with regards to universal background checks and perhaps the universal bans that they're talking about.
You want to start with that, Cole? Second Amendment universal ban?
The Supreme Court has held that there is a constitutional right for an individual to bear arms, and I certainly respect that. The court also found that it's not an absolute right. There can be reasonable regulation. I certainly would not support an absolute ban. Background checks, I think, are a good idea. Child-proof locks on firearms at home seem to me to make sense. On the federal level, to not allow people on the no-fly list to own and purchase guns, it seems to me a no-brainer.
Basically, I feel that we need to leave the gun laws alone at this point. I think the conversation with gun laws is being pulled on both extremes, one from the right and one from the left. And at this time, I think we just need to leave the gun laws alone.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that, and we're going to give you your 30 seconds closing statement. Cole, you go first.
Okay, I've lived in China for off and on for 20 years, and you know, China is I know what it's like to live in a one-party state. And when you live in a one-party state, three things inevitably occur. Number one, the governors and the governed separate. Corruption follows, and people lose interest in the political system. I think all that's happened in Utah now. We have a legislature dominated by one party. They meet in secret caucuses where the public and media are not allowed, and we need to have new voices in the legislature, and that's why I'm running.
And Logan Wild.
You know, I agree with one thing that he said. We need new voices in the legislature, and that's kind of why I run. I am grateful for the people that have actually supported me and come out and to my rallies. I am thankful for this opportunity to be here, Leslie and Renee, and to express some of my opinions that I have on a public arena. So thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate Logan Wild and Cole Capemer spending the last hour with us. You've been listening to YouTube.